God, we thank you so much for a unity and body of believers in this valley, God. God, that this church is not just limited to these four walls that we see here, but God, it extends to all sorts of people that we come in contact with throughout our weeks, throughout our life, God. And God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are living water for us. And God, as we branch out, that we would produce fruit. God, that it would fall in fertile ground and you would just add your water to that, Lord, and grow in places that have been hard to grow before in this area, God. God, that it would extend out into other states, the rest of this nation, God, and then even just go beyond its borders. Because just like we have borders around our nation and we have walls in our church, your body just keeps going further. They're not borders.
Yes, Jesus.
So God, we just pray that we would be a body of believers that would make that a goal for us, is to just keep continuing to send out and just keep producing fruit in every branch of our life.
Yes, Jesus.
God, we love you and we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man, I love this church, Lord. Thank you. We ask this in your name.
Thank you,
amen. You may be seated. It's Halloween, but that's not something we get excited about, is it? What's funny is that, I don't know how many people already know this, but Easter actually started out as a pagan holiday. The date in spring, and they would celebrate the egg and whatnot, and life in spring. But Jesus messed with that holiday, didn't he? And now we celebrate the resurrection, the life of Jesus and the resurrection on Easter, and we've totally dominated that holiday. I think we need to start doing that for Halloween as well. I think that's part of why we do trunk or treat, is to show off Jesus to people, that they might be unexpected, but you know what? He wants to reach all of them. So we're doing that today with Trunk or Treat. Hopefully you guys are getting your trunks ready. You guys are prepared for that this evening, coming up at 5 o'clock. But you'll want to get your trunk here earlier than that, for sure, have it set up. But just remember that we do this because we want to mess with the holiday. We want to mess with Halloween. We want to mess with what someone else or the Satan might want to do with this day. And we're going to try to make it another Easter, so to speak, of sorts. So, anyway, keep that in mind. Water. You can go ahead and do the water slide. Ah, perfect. All right. Water. It's essential for life, even in the desert. There must be some kind of existence of water for life to be present. After a long, dry summer, such as this last one, I can't help but think of how water also represents purification, protection, and healing. It was such a, like at the end of the summer when we started getting rain again, it was just kind of, there was such a sense of like rest almost that kind of comes up, knowing that there's life to be lived again and all the dead stuff that we see from the desert or from the drought that we had this last summer. It provides purification of the dry, smoky, stagnant air, protection from more wildfires and drought, and healing from the loss of life through the heat and drought. And in chapter 4 of John, with the woman at the well, we see Jesus referencing himself or the Holy Spirit as living water, a kind of water that you will never thirst again once you've consumed it. I believe this references belief or faith in Jesus. Once we've received it, we will never need another Savior. His sacrifice is paid for our sin once and for all. There is no need for another Savior. We don't need to thirst for another Savior. And his His sacrifice was sufficient for all sin, for all mankind. We just have to receive it, right? However, I want to talk about this living water in another sense today that goes on even beyond the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, living water is also mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 47 and in Revelation 21 and 22. And in those scriptures, I believe it is in a context of sustainment as well. It talks about trees growing up on the banks of this living water and producing fruit. So we're going to go with Jeremiah 17. If you guys want to turn your Bibles. I don't have it up on the screen today. I'm not that good a pastor. Sorry. I'll get there. Yeah. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Let's go to Romans now. Romans 11, 16. You guys ever get to the point when you're like in your phone Bible, you're so used to using your phone Bible, and then you go back to using the pages type Bible, and it gets like, I don't know, you got to turn a lot of pages, a lot more pages than you have to scroll on your phone. Anyway, Romans 11, 16, and since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy, because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. What that's referencing is going back early on in the Old Testament, where they would actually give, they would make dough as their offering, and they would give the first of their dough as an offering. So that's what they're referencing. But anyway, what I'm getting at here is that the Jews, which is what Paul was talking about, the Jews, he's talking to the Gentiles, the Jews are, they're God's chosen people. But not just the Jews as every Jew, it's the ones that believed. And so when he keeps referencing this stuff about the Jews and the church to the Gentiles, and he's trying to prove to them that what you've seen is not necessarily the greatest example. And if you want to read more, I didn't have enough time today, I didn't think so, to read a whole bunch of this, but it'll get into more detail of that. But when we look at the church, a lot of times we can see a lot of bad examples or bad apples or some things that maybe would be like, you know, that just doesn't seem right. And we're probably right. And so he's trying to tell the Gentile people that what you see in the Jews is not necessarily all right. And so these people have heard, you know, the Jews are the chosen people, everything, you know, they're God's people. The Gentiles have heard that, the Jews have heard that. But I don't think the Gentiles had enough concept and context to understand some of the more details about that. And so he's trying to give them some more details and help them understand that it's not all the Jews. It's not, and this is for you now as well. And like, please don't use them as just your example. Now, they have some great things, but just like we can look at the church today, we have some great things, but not every one of us is a great example. And so he was getting at the Jews for that. So we're going to put that in our pocket for a second and hold on to it. I spent the last 17 years in my career working with trees, working with wood, working in a lumber yard selling was the first few years, and then I worked in a sawmill cleaning up sawdust, and then worked my way up through ranks, and then did a bunch of other cool stuff. And Anyway, I kind of developed this passion for wood. And it's for some reason I get it's kind of weird. You can go to the next picture. Like this looks like art to me. I don't know if anybody else sees that as art. But this is a tree cut, right? And so they cut the tree and they took ink and they laid it all out there, and then they pressed this paper on it, and this guy, Brian Nash something, peeled his paper off, and he would get these prints, and they show a lot about the tree. And I think most of us know this, but since it's, especially since it's family service today, I'm going to explain some things that are probably, a little bit obvious, but when the tree rings are wider, that means it's a good growth year, right? Each ring represents a year. And when the rings are wider, then that means that it had a lot of growth in that year. And such as this tree, it had something that it was growing up against on one side. And so in this art book that Brian Nash something, still can't remember his last name yet, but anyway, he was explaining the life of a tree that he cut down, or that he cut and took a image from. And it would just explain everything inside the rings. It would explain how it grew one way and couldn't grow the other way because there was something it was up against, or how its environment was affecting its growth and how it was adjusting for its environment and whatnot. And it's a really cool thing to look up. If I ever remember his last name, I'll tell you, but you can look up Brian Nash and woodcuts and you can see a whole bunch of these things. But anyway, the trees aren't just the log or just the trunk. They have roots, right? And they have branches, leaves, whatnot on them, and fruit. So the prior reason for the root system is to absorb water and nutrients. The tree applies the water to all of its processes. And water flows up the cells of the tree, through the trunk, to the branches and leaves, and then to the fruit. And pretty much in that order. In moisture-rich environments, there is a lushness. Water is simple to reach and is flowing everywhere. It's even absorbed, not just through the roots. And I kind of, when I'm thinking of water and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I start to think about, how would that represent, so to speak, as trees and water, living water and all that. And I think about what we talked about a few weeks ago, is community. Community in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 1 we talked about. And I think that when we're in a moisture-rich environment, such as a community, such as church, it's easy to come by. It's easy to come by being impacted by God, being impacted by the living water. You know, there's people that are just dripping, so to speak, with this as they walk around, dripping with Jesus. And like, I think of some of my closest friends that are just like, when I spend time with them, Jesus does speak to me. Like it is, I just know that when I spend time with them, they spend enough time in the living water that I receive some of that water myself, just being around them and listening to what their words are, because it's Jesus speaking through them. And so in a moisture-rich environment, there's a lushness. There's a lushness of the forest. There's a lushness of us in a moisture-rich environment such as that. Water is simple to reach and it's flowing everywhere. But in a dry place, trees and plants need to be able to survive on very little water. Maybe like maybe a missionary going somewhere that I think of my grandpa going to the Amazon, where they didn't have any of this living water, so to speak, flowing in their communities. And so it was really tough. It wasn't like there was a system where he's getting poured into from all around him all the time. But he's got a root system that digs deep into the living water that flows through him now to produce fruit. And so I just want to give you those two examples so we can understand where to go with that. And you can go to the next slide. I was over in Raymond last week preaching, and on my way over there, I was going over White Pass, which is my favorite pass. maybe Chinook Pass, I can't tell. Anyway, I was going over White Pass, and there's, you know, Mount Rainier and Mount Rainier Park, and there's a little place that we went a couple times when I was younger called Ohanapakash. Yeah, I try to say that a lot of times. But Ohanapakash is the name of this little spot that I stopped at on the way down, and I was just praying, and I was just thinking, you know, like, God, I just want to spend some time with you, just speak to me, you know, and so pulled over on the side of the road, and the campground's all closed down or whatever, so I just went for a walk back in these trees and stuff, and it was just, that was when this started to download, talking about living water and all this, and it was such a moisture-rich environment, and you could just see the growth anywhere, right? This is a dead tree. It was laying down, but yet there's life springing up out of it, right? You can go to the next slide. But since a tree's affected by its environment, such as how a tree can grow around something and become more dense and stronger there, it can grow through something like concrete and break walls. And, you know, maybe those walls in our lives would be generational. Maybe we have some walls that need broken down through some growth, through some saturation. It can grow on top of something such as a rock, which you should be seeing in that slide right there. I was walking around and I saw this tree, and I was just like, how in the world did that happen? And there was, I mean, at some point, a seed fell on some moss on a rock and found living water and was able to branch out and go around until no longer is the feature there a rock. The feature's a tree. The feature that is there is now living. And I think, I'm getting a little off notes here, but I think that when we hit a rock sometimes in life, and when we come up against something that is so solid, you know, that a lot of seeds haven't been able to grow on, we might give up. We might say, ah, there's no living water here. Or maybe we could be like that tree and we could just go ahead and start to root. Even if it's just moss and there's some water in it, we can start to root. We know that the living water is going to be enough. It's going to be sufficient. We're going to go ahead and keep working our way out. And we're going to break through something that was dead, something that was generationally old, dead, we didn't see a way around. And now, like in this picture, maybe we could have something that Jesus now becomes the feature. Jesus now is the life where there once was death. So we don't always choose what obstacles might come up around us, but we choose whether to let the water do its job or not. It is a choice. I think of today, like, our kids. Try to keep it together. It's a passionate subject for me. But our kids have a few rocks that they got to grow around. And I think of things such as the divisions that we have in politics, and they have to grow around that. They have to figure out, they just have to connect to the living water, right? They have to get connected to that. They have to grow around that. There's things in their life that they're going to come up against. I mean, we're talking about vaccines and all this stuff, and there's all the drama about it, and I'm not trying to pin anybody against each other, but it's something they have to grow around. It's something that they have to find living water over. This argument that we as a people have. And it's not saying that the argument's bad. If there's something right and wrong and there's a difference, we should be standing up for it. But it's something to consider that our kids have to deal with some things that are rocks that we didn't have to deal with. And they have to grow over top of those things and find living water through those things. So are we helping guide and direct? Are we helping shade so the sun does not beat down on that seed and dry it up? Are we helping direct where the water is for them? Are we helping do that? So I came up with this little weird conversation between a tree and some water. And some of you might like this. Some of you might think I'm crazy. But there's already a lot of people that do that, so you're in good company. A conversation between the tree and the water. When we look at our lives and say, God, where's the fruit? The living water might say, where's the roots? When we are rooted in Christ and his living water flows through every cell in our body, and then if our question still stands, God, where's the fruit? Then the living water might say, branch out. Then we branch out and say, God, now where's the fruit? I only see flowers budding. Keep drinking and stay focused on your roots. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Let me go there next. I used this a couple weeks ago, but I think it's such an important verse. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So later in life, God, I've remained in you. I've abounded in you. Where now is the fruit? And I've found myself in this place a few times over my lifetime. Like, man, I have spent a lot of time. I have spent a lot of work on doing something, and I still don't understand where the fruit's at yet. God, where's the fruit? God, where's the fruit? And, you know, I've got my branch out here. I've seen some people show up and some people leave and some people show up and some people leave. Where's the fruit, God? Like, I don't get it. And in this little story, my child, look at the smaller trees around you. Your fruit was not meant to stay connected to you. As your branches bloomed and produced fruit that went to seed, it fell on the fertile soil around you. And because you remained in me, you showed the seed how to take root. Your fruit isn't what's connected to your branches. It's what grows after being touched by them. The fruit on the branch only glorifies the tree, but the tree glorifies the living water. And your words have produced the meat of the fruit, but it's your example that has produced the seed within it. Don't miss that. Our words can produce something showing up. Our words can produce something that looks pretty. And our words can produce juicy sweetness. But it doesn't do anything but that if it doesn't have a seed. And our example in life is the seed. Now, as it has fallen from the tree, it can take root to my living water directly on its own without having to pass through your branches anymore. And I hope that that's kind of a goal in our lives, is that we don't get to keep and hold on to all of our fruit, and it doesn't just sit there and glorify us, but we sit there and we can say, you know what, God, this fruit glorifies you, because without water, this fruit wouldn't even be there. I could produce something, I could, you know, maybe show a something, but it would never fall down and produce another seed. It would never produce another seed, fall down, and get connected with you. So I want to ask, how deep are our roots? How deep, how much water are we taking up? How much living water are we consuming? Is it enough that even in the dry spell, even in the time of drought, we would be able to still flourish and be a tree that's green, maybe even produce fruit? You know, the trees out here, that produce fruit, they do it all through the summer, even through the drought. Like, they're producing the fruit. They're making the seed. They're making all of that. They find water because their roots are deep and they're planted next to the stream. How deep are our roots? Are we abiding? Does this mean more to us than just words on the page? Does this mean life? How big are our rings? Now, if we went back to that picture, which we're not, unless you want to. Actually, go to the next picture. That'll work. Okay, that's another one of those art pieces I had to throw in. How big are our rings? You know, there's times when the tree started out not producing much. There's times when the tree had small rings. There wasn't much growth, but all of a sudden something happened, and there was a change. And I don't, yeah, this one doesn't show that, but I've watched this through my career of logging and stuff going on, and we cut down a tree that 30 years ago it got logged around, you know, and so now all of a sudden it had nutrients again. And you see the rings go from these little tiny things, and it could be like a 90-year-old tree that's only this big around, standing next to a other 90-year-old tree that was like this, but they cut down that 90-year-old tree that was like this. So now this one got more nutrients and shade or and sunlight and all this stuff. And this little tree all of a sudden just exploded. And the rings just got huge on it. Just because you have some rings that may be tiny, some growth that might be small, maybe you haven't been sucking through the straws of your roots very much to the living water, does not mean you have to always live that way. In an instant, right now, we can make a decision to say, I'm going to be drinking more water. I'm going to be pouring my roots into this stuff. I'm going to be pouring my roots into listening to what God has to say to me. Those kinds of things. And when that happens, it's such an amazing growth that happens that it goes beyond what a tree with little rings could ever understand. So then another question I want to ask you guys, you know, as you do look back, is there fruit in your lives? Are we branching out enough? We talked about community a couple weeks ago, like I said earlier, and are we branching out enough? That's a challenge. It's a hard thing to do. I'd rather hermit up and just hang out by the fire. I like to do that. But I have to branch out to produce fruit. So we need to branch out. And then, is there seed or is it just fruit? When we branch out, you know, kind of like the parable where Jesus is talking about cutting off the branches. There's times where we need to cut off our own branches in life and just say, you know what? I'm too busy trying to relate with these people instead of share Jesus with them. And there's a lot of times where if we can be relative to people, that's great. Be relative. But when it goes to a point where it's like, I'm just here to be relative and I'm just waiting for 30 years to show Jesus to them, maybe someday I'll talk to them about it. That branch isn't producing fruit. We have to bring the living water to that branch or cut it off. That's a little bit of Johnny-ism there. But if we find ourselves branching into places that we're just so busy trying to relate, we're missing the point of the branch. And thank God we aren't judged by our works, though. Thank God we aren't judged by our works. But however, works are an important part of faith. So be rooted well by the streams of living water and abide in Christ. Branch out and produce much fruit. And this is a very short sermon. But I hope you guys understand that it doesn't need a whole lot of words to be able to impact you. And I hope you understand the point of this message today. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your living water. God, I just pray that we root deeply, God, and we drink deeply of what you have to say to us, God, that our ears would be open, our lives would be open enough that we are seeking water more than we're seeking anything else. God, that we are seeking your words, we are seeking the life that you give more than anything else, Lord, in our lives. And that we would thirst, God, even when we have enough, so to speak, more than others, we would continue to thirst, God, and we would drive deeper, build bigger root systems, Lord. Lord, as we branch out, even today in Trunk or Treat, God, that we would be producing fruit in that branch, Lord, tonight. God, as we branch out Monday morning, going into our work life and our school and everything like that, God, that we would begin to produce fruit in those parts of our lives. God, as we go home to families and family members that are not saved, God, that we would produce fruit even in our homes. God, that this fruit would not be anything to point towards us, but only point towards you, God, so that it'll actually plant a seed. God, let us be good examples, not just a church, not just a gathering of people, but good examples at it. Lord, we love you. God, I praise you. We thank you for this word today. God, just let us be good actors of it, that it would be something that we act out daily in our lives. We are reminded of, every day, every moment, to continue to drink water, drink what is giving us life. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, it is the last week of October. It's actually the last day of October. So it's Pastor Appreciation, the last day of Pastor Appreciation. So Lynn and Kirsten are going to come forward, and they're going to go on with that. Hopefully you guys can handle a short sermon. Maybe give you more time.
Could we have Pastor Trina and Craig, can you guys come up? All right. Well, today, like what Johnny just said, is the week that we want to honor Trina as our children's pastor. And of course, when a wife does something, a husband ends up doing a lot too. Well, I was trying to think of an outline for Trina just to kind of to help me, so I don't have to use my brain so much here. But I was trying to think of some words that reminded me of Trina, and the first one is pretty obvious, and it's teacher. And Trina, as most of you know, she's a teacher in the public school in Kamiai. She teaches first grade, and then here she's our children's pastor, and she also teaches, I believe it's first through fifth grade. Is it fifth grade that she teaches during for children's church? And Trina is gifted by God as a teacher. I've had the privilege of sitting in her class quite a few times since I've been here for about 5 years. And Trina, she's very creative, and she makes learning fun for the kids in her class. And I was amazed one day when I was in there, she had multiple suitcases full of Legos that she did a story for where they were working on Queen Esther. And so at the end of the class, all the kids got to build things with Legos that related to what they were learning about. But I mean, it's just really fun for the kids to be in the class and to have that kind of environment. And let me see, I have to use my brain here. And Trina also has that little something that some teachers have, that you can be in a class and she has control of the class, but yet the kids have freedom to be able to express themselves and to be who God created them to be. And that's really a great environment for kids to be in, a learning environment, and one that they're not hindered in any way from being able to express who they are. And then another thing that in the public school where Trina teaches, she looks for gifts and talents that the kids have, and then she uses those gifts and talents to lead those kids to the Lord. And there was an example in our family with our niece that was in Trina's class a few years ago, Trina influenced her during the time she was her teacher, but even years afterward. And she ended up inviting my niece to church, and she came, and she was actually in the last Christmas program that the church had because of her gifts of singing and memorization. And, you know, that's just one of the children that was in Trina's class during that time. And like Johnny was saying about the seeds, Trina, I mean, you just think over all the years that she's been teaching and all the seeds that she's planted in all those kids. It's just awesome. And only in heaven will we know, you know, how many people are there because of her service to God. I mean, that's a big thing. And then another word for Trina that reminded me of Trina is passion. And Trina has, well, again, sitting in her class, she has passion for God, and she has passion for God's word, and that the kids develop that passion also. And when Trina teaches her class here, she doesn't use curriculum. She uses the Bible, and she teaches directly from the Bible. And I was amazed at the Bible knowledge that the kids had, the questions and the reviews, and she also was able to relate it to the kids' lives. So it was something that they lived and they used, and I really appreciated that being in Trina's class. And then we were talking a while back, and Trina was saying what her real passion is for the community and to have events that bring the community into the church. And Johnny talked about that too, about like trunk or treat. And then the people, when they're used to be kids, when they come to Nerf Wars or just different things that are going on, it shows them that the people in the church were just normal people, you know, who love God. But it brings them in, and then they, when they have things that they're going through in their lives, then they have a place to go, and they have people to go to. And that's what Trina's passion is for big events that brings the community into the church and gives them a favorable opinion of the church and mainly of God. And then, okay, one more word that I had for Trina was perseverance. And Trina wears a lot of hats. She's a wife, and of course, with Craig, and then a mother, and also she is blessed to have two of her grandkids living in her home right now. And Trina helps out her extended family over the years. I mean, I'm not sure what all right now, but I know over the years she's been a big help to her extended family. And then Trina and Craig have both had physical issues the last few years that they've been dealing with. And I know I'm not sure how long ago, but it's been since I've been here, but their house flooded, and to the point that they couldn't even live in their house, and they had to rebuild it, like from the floor up. I know Trina was doing drywall and refinishing floors and working, you know, doing all that, plus all the other things that she does. And then with school the last couple years in the public schools, it has been a challenge. You know, things are not the same as they were before that. And even with all those things going on in Trina's life, I have never seen her not positive, not enthusiastic, and not just taking one step after the other and moving forward. And I really appreciate that. And another thing about Trina is, if you have a need and she knows about it, regardless of what's going on in her life, she is willing to help. I'll help. And I'm like, how can you help? You're so busy. But she will volunteer. And I just think our church is really blessed to have Trina as its children's pastor.
So believe it or not, none of us actually talked about what we were going to say. I didn't know Johnny was going to talk about living water, and that kind of fits with what Trina said. He mentioned he gets around these people that drip that living water. Trina's one of those people. So her heart. God has given her a heart for children. God gives her the most amazing ideas that are not only fun, but the kids leave them with lessons about God that stick with them. And then she's got Craig there. She just gets up, I just had this dream. And then she tells him, and somehow they get it all done, and it's wonderful. She plants seeds and knows that someday someone else will water them, or sometimes she's the one that plants them and she waters them, because she knows that children are the future, and she makes sure they have those tools that are needed to take on the world and all of that, like Johnny was talking about. And she takes the time to make sure every child knows that she sees them and she cares for them, no matter what. And that's Trina's heart. She's just one of those living water people.
Yeah. Could we have the elders come up to help us to pray for Trina and her husband? And also, if you are in Trina's class, if you want to come up and pray, we'd be more than happy to have you come up too. Oh, come down here. Yeah, okay. Well, Father in heaven, we just thank you for Trina. We thank you, Lord, that she loves you and that her passion for you drips, like Johnny said. We thank you, Lord, that her heart is to reach people for you, and we just pray that you would give her the desires of her heart. We pray, Father, for her family. We pray for her and Craig. We pray for them physically, Lord, that you would bring healing, that you would bring health to their lives. We pray for you, Lord, pray for her, Lord, for them as they raise their grandchildren and as they support their children. We pray, Father, that you would give them insight and wisdom, patience, energy, all those things that it takes to raise a child in the way you would have them to go. And Father, we pray for each of them as they work in the public schools and they have such a big influence on so many people. We just pray that you would multiply all of their efforts, Lord, all of the work that they do, that you would just guide them, lead them, support them, and just lift them up. And Father, when people look at them, that they would see you. We pray, Father, that you would just bring the fruit or bring to fruition all these things that they do to try to get people to know you and to come to you. We thank you for their service to you in the community and their service to you in our church. We just thank you, we praise you, and we pray that you would be with them, Lord, and just be strong in them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, I just pray for a year with a large ring. God, as they put their roots into you and draw from your living water, God, let this year's ring be the largest ring they've ever had. We speak blessings into their life, God. I speak wisdom into their life, a new insight, God, new perspective, Father. I speak health, Lord, into their lives. and peace, God, in all areas. God, I thank you for a year with a large ring, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Being a drip is a compliment now. So thank you for dripping. Thank you for dripping, Craig.
Before we all go, Crystal Paul, would you come up for a minute? Crystal's going to be going on a mission. I don't know a whole lot of details about it. I'll let her tell you real quick what she's doing, but we're going to pray for her before she goes as well, while you guys are all up here. So, Crystal, will you just give us a little quick brief synopsis of what you're doing?
So I'm going on a medical mission trip to Guatemala. I leave this Thursday. I'll be gone for about 12 days, and I'll be working with the kids while the others are doing the medical part. And I'm doing the bracelets to teach them the salvation message.
So let's pray for Crystal as she goes. Yeah. God, we thank you for Crystal, God, being willing to go, and us to be able to help support her in that, God. And Lord, we just pray that her influence to these people, these children, Lord, would be planting seeds. God, that it would be just your living water flowing through her in this branch, God, and producing fruit that is not just glorious for her by any means, but all for you, God, all for your glory. And God, we just thank you for her willingness to do that, God. God, it takes a strong heart to be able to go and do that. And God, just keep her blessed, keep her grounded, keep her sucking from her root system, God. And we love you and we praise you in sending her. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Morning, brothers and sisters. You know, I'm a part-time professional photographer, and I can witness to you how Trina has impacted the lives of our youth in this community by some of the summer programs that she's put on here at the Life Center for the kids. There have been summer camps and winter camps inside, and I've had the pleasure of photographing that and just seeing the joy in the lives of the kids and how they're being impacted by that activity and that companionship with adults and youth of their own age. And so I know that Trina has been fundamental in organizing and making these events happen for our youth. So I just want to recognize that. And another thing about Trina is, if she wasn't a teacher, I swear she could have been an opera singer, right? So, you know, let it belt out, sister. And when your daughter is up here singing on the worship team, you know, I close my eyes and I think we've got Whitney Houston here singing. So, a lot of talent there. So you're putting that to good use in God's kingdom, and I just pray that those blessings will continue. So with that, let's bring the ushers forward and we'll take the offering today. And for folks who are online, if you'd like to put your offering online, you can do so on our website at www.tlc4me.cc. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to give, to plant seeds in your kingdom. We just pray, Father, that our finances will help bring up that living water to help build your kingdom here in this valley and to support the church, Father, and the activities here at the Life Center that is used to promote your word in the community. And Father, we just pray that our efforts and our commitment to you will produce fruit, plant our roots deeply, Father, here in this valley, so that the fruit can be seen and partaken of and expanded upon in the lives of others. And may it continue to grow in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, right around Thanksgiving on November 24th here at the Life Center at 6:30 p.m., we're going to have a worship night. So it'll be a good night to come and just praise God with our voices and just to sing. And, you know, worship and singing is like a prayer. And I love praying in song. And I think David, King David, did as well with all the psalms that we see in the Bible. So anyway, if you'd like to participate in that, that's going to be here on the November 24th at 6:30 p.m. Then also coming up tonight from 5 until 7 will be our trunk and treat activity. And if you do have a trunk, if you're hosting a trunk, you can pick up your space assignment form at the information center. And they should have also the time that you can come to set up. Obviously, you want to be here before 5. In days past, it's been around 3 o'clock, so just get more information at the information center and get your space assignment. Also, on Mondays here at the Life Center are our youth group, and that's something that Pastor Johnny hosts. And if you have youth that would like to participate in that, feel free to have them come here or drop them off here at 6:30 on Monday. Then also on Tuesday times here at the Life Center every morning, not every morning, but every Tuesday morning, sisters get together and put together a variety of different crafts, hand crafts that are used to support worthy causes. And I was handed this note here to announce that this Friday, the tree that they have been working on, making ornaments for, will be decorated and put up at the Inland Cellular Building on Main Street. I presume that's in Kamei. And it will be auctioned off to benefit the UYLC group there in Kamei also. Then also next week on November 9th, the ladies will be visiting the Lavender Farm in Peck. And if you would like to participate in that, feel free to contact Terry Dobson for more information. Then also, for those of you who would like to help out with a food donation, holiday hams or turkeys for the food bank, please see me or my wife Irene, and we'd be happy to take those donations so that we can bless others during the holidays with holiday meals. Then also today at 2 p.m. here at the Life Center in the boardroom will be the Pray for the USA meeting. And if you'd like to participate in that, pray about what's going on in our country, pray for our country, then feel free to join our brothers and sisters here at 2 p.m. for that. And then I just want to remind everybody, next Sunday after church, we have a staff meeting scheduled, right? So prepare for that too, if you are participators in that. With that, let's call the prayer team forward. If you have need for prayer, please come forward and we can pray for you and pray over you. If you know someone who needs prayer, you can do so on their behalf as well. And for folks online, if you have prayer requests, you can submit, idahopath53@yahoo.com. With that, let's close with prayer. Father, we just pray, thank you for the blessings of your love, your glory, your living water, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that through him, life flows, that salvation flows. And we just pray, Father, plant our roots deep into the fertile soil of your word. Help us to grow, Father, to bear fruit, to branch out, to produce leaves, to just show your glory, not for our glory, Father, but yours. May our lives, Father, glorify you. May we be good examples, and may we just produce good fruit and find joy in your word and living water. And may we just find hope, Father, through that water. Baptize us, Father, daily in your living water, that we might return to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.